Welcome into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. Alongside Sandra Herrera and Darren Jenkins, I'm Lisa Carlin. We did have our producer, Phil, here for just...
Hey, Phil.
Thank you for your service, sir. We appreciate you.
Cameo of Phil. That was amazing.
He said, happy Mother's Day. I'm out.
Say hello to your mothers for me.
That's live TV, baby. Let's do it.
It's the best thing about this. These Sunday night shows are so silly in the best way because we get to talk all about NWSL weekend recap and we get to do it with you all live on YouTube. So thanks for hanging with us. If you saw Phil, our producer, let him know in the chat. Tell him hi. Tell him, hey, what's up? If you're watching on Golazo Network, thanks for joining us. And of course, if you're listening as a pod, as always, it is great to have you with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are wrapping up NWSL. We're doing our recaps, our takeaways, of course, our A3 team of the week, and we do have a player interview today. Don't worry, you're going to stick around and see who that is. It was a great weekend of soccer, guys. It was so fun to watch it, but it really was a celebration of Mother's Day across the whole league. It was fun to see some moms get their shine to play a little bit, but Dee, you were on television, and I know your mom, she watches. Did she watch you this weekend? Did she watch you?
Yes, my mom was with my grandma Peggy, who you can see in all of the Attacking Third social posts, who ousts me on everything. They were watching together this weekend. Lisa, they saw both of us. Lisa crushed it on sideline. But yeah, who would we be without our moms? I think we all got to shout out our moms this weekend, and it's really cool to see the game evolve and that we get younger moms now having the choice to step away and come back and then be the badasses that we know them as they are with this extra superpower now of being a mom, and all of the, you know, features that we got to see of all of the players that talk about their kids and what that means to them now. It's just, this is why I just love us. I love us. I love that we get to celebrate this.
It's so special, man. I just can't, like, we say this, I feel, endlessly on this show that we don't hype up the moms enough in this league, that there's just never enough time to tell their stories. And it's just like, there's so much truth in that because of how vast these stories are. I mean, this league has moms on the sidelines, moms on the pitch, on staffs, on active rosters, working their way back. If you comb through this league, moms are running it and touching everything. It's wonderful.
It's so cool. And years ago, there was only like a handful that we got to mention. Now the list of moms that have had children and come back to play in the NWSL is so long and ever growing. And even a couple of them making their return this weekend with Claire Emsley getting to play for Angel City. It really special, really special. So happy Mother's Day to everyone, to all of our moms, to all of your moms, and to all of you if you are a mom. Really special to get to do this. But it's even more special because we get to talk about some crazy games that happened this weekend. There were some upsets that went around. There was some teams saying we're going to make statement wins, including Racing Louisville. They took down Portland Thorns, who were on a run, scoring goals. Sophia Wilson's unstoppable. But Sandra, it was Louisville 3-1 over Portland. Talk about a statement win for Racing.
This is why we love this league. This is why we tout this league. This is why we constantly say it's the best league in the world. Soph Wilson getting an opening goal on Mother's Day. Portland punches first. And Louisville is unfazed. Katie O'Kane says, it's not about the first punch. It's about punching back harder. Incredible stuff. Incredible stuff from Racing Louisville. Still one of these teams where I'm like, okay, are they going to be one of those teams that maybe kind of needs this very interesting first half of the season to sort of figure things out? They're not unfamiliar with that. They've had to utilize an entire season to finally punch through to a postseason appearance. But these performances that they're stringing together, even in the losses, these narrow losses, the performances that they're stringing together against what are considered these sort of elite or contender type of teams are very important to pay attention to. And so getting that actual win against Thorns, I think, is so important for them as a team that looks, as they still look like they're trying to turn that page, as to say, like, hey, we're still here to compete this season.
It was such a good game for Louisville, and I think that we don't get to see them have these games till late in the season, where it's a good team win, they're patient up top, it's clear what they're trying to do. I think what separates Louisville, you know, where they are on the table from some of the other teams, is that they actually had some patience and some nuance to what they were trying to do up top. It wasn't everybody's feeling the pressure of they need to equalize, they need to get another goal, and everyone's trying to play the hero ball or score the hero goal. It was an actual team. You can see what Bev is trying to get the team to do and how they're trying to break them down. It was just a really strong game from Louisville. And I love, love, love that we're getting it this early.
Yeah.
They're not waiting until 2 weeks before playoffs to have one of these matches. So I'm hyped for this team, finally.
It feels like the turnaround is here for Bev Yanez and Racing Louisville, right? They make it into the playoffs last year, and she can pick up right where she left off at the end of 2025 and not have to wait, have a big statement win early in this season. But they did look so connected and on the same game plan. And you're right, Dee, not frazzled at all. Maybe it's the fact that Sophia Wilson scored in the sixth minute, so there was still a lot of time left to play in this game. But even for Portland Thorns, they had some good shots and some good moments, but it wasn't as sharp as we're used to seeing Portland. And that's maybe on the other side of the coin, as hot as Racing Louisville was in this game and connected and all together, Portland looked a little disjointed at times, and like they got flustered by what Racing Louisville was trying to do, especially in their defense and disrupting the way Portland likes to play through their midfield and really utilize Olivia Moultrie.
Yeah, I think the back line got exposed. I think Portland does a really good job of typically dealing with pressure higher up on the field, where the back line doesn't always have to be the ones to make the immediate problem solve or the last ditch problem solving tackle, whatever it's going to be. And so I think Louisville actually put them on their heels and exposed something that maybe Portland really needed exposed this early in the season. Because if you have moments and games like this later on, teams are going to take far more advantage of you and it's going to be too late. So I think that Louisville and Bev Yanez and how the team played was really down to scouting, their pressure, how they broke down Portland. And again, Portland's, there's still time. This team is still killing it. They're still strong. But that was a game that they're going to look back and see very, very solvable things that Louisville clearly scouted against them.
And nice to get that exposed, at least at this point in the season. Portland, James Miller saying Portland looked a little sluggish. I could see that at times. They did look a little slow, especially compared to Racing Louisville. Louisville had that pep in their step. Like, they knew that they were going to come out and get a win. I'm sure Bev Yanez gave them a pretty electric pump-up speech. She tends to do that and get you ready to run through a wall. So that was Louisville 3-1 over Portland Thorns. We also had a really fun one on Saturday night. Angel City against San Diego in rivalry week NWSL action. So the two SoCal teams, and it ends up being San Diego get the win 2-1 over Angel City, and they stop their two-game losing streak thanks to an insane performance. It was a one-woman show a lot of the time from Dugenia, Sandra. I mean, this player is so good. And you called it last week. You were like, she is about to go off. And she did. Dugenia, unstoppable.
She had been building these games together. They were on a little bit of a skid there, but someone who wasn't looking like they were sluggish or happy to walk away with 0 points was Dudinja. Like, constant engine, relentless effort in these sort of losses for the Wave. And it just felt like a rivalry game. It just felt like, be careful, this might be the one where she sort of gets that kind of, you know, revenge just for herself. She's just like, you know, there's no way I'm putting in this much effort and not walking away with something. Walking away with everything, 3 points, goal, you know, setting up teammates. Incredible stuff that we're watching from this player. Look, and you got to give a shout out to that team just sort of showing that they're not going to get too low. It's a long season for everybody this year. And these sort of weird little slumps, two games here, a long match heavy, you know, week for a team that has a midweek game could feel like such a tough swing for you sometimes. But it's those more elite teams or top table chasing teams that are going to find those ways to not stay so low. And I think it's very impressive that Dudinha, in her case, a player that maybe, you know, is newer to NWSL, is also not letting those kind of results define her or affect her too much. Just incredible form these last string of games, whether they've been wins or losses.
Yeah, I think, Sandra, when we were on the show last week, I was like, San Diego's too stacked to not be winning games. Like, and Lisa, we were on coaches' calls together this weekend, and this team has so much talent that it's, hey, tactically, who makes sense to start this week?
Right.
Everybody's balling out in training. Who's actually going to be, who has the quality and, you know, the skill that we're looking for in this particular game, in these phases of the match, in order to break down Angel City? And then they have people coming off the bench and you're like, I forget how good this team truly is. But I love this rivalry. I think you could feel the energy, the crunchy tackles. It was wide open from the jump, like massive spaces, super transitional. Everybody hungry. As soon as somebody made a tackle, you heard the crowd roaring behind them. And then you have the addition of Becky Tweed facing off. Jonas Eideball's has to be up somewhere, hiding, giving information. Becky Tweed is on the sidelines of the former club she was the head coach of, who fired her. So the team just has that extra angst behind them to get it done for Becky Tweed as well. And I love the vengeance story of that, that you go back and get a massive win. Like, oh,
it's so good. It's so good. This felt like a rivalry between these two teams. And even Jan's daughter was talking about it before the game for Angel City, saying that like it's more than just a game. And she doesn't even know the history and the lore that comes with it. But it's San Diego stacked. Darian, in this game, Leah Godfrey came off the bench. Melanie Barcenas, Lorena Fager came off the bench. These are starters. These are typical starters for San Diego.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're too good to not win games. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. You have a plethora of choices, champagne problems of who do I want to come in and make an impact? Whose skill level and whatever they're good at makes sense for this team we're playing up against. They're just so fun to watch, but Angel City made it really difficult. I love the center back goal as well from Sarah Gordon to Emily Sams. Emily Sams getting her first goal for Angel City. Sarah Gordon getting her first career assist, which is nuts to me.
That is so wild to me, that stat.
Yes. First career assist on Mother's Day. Shout out to Sarah Gordon. But it was just a fun, fun game. Like, mm-hmm. I think how we used to look at Cascadia, like this kind of felt like that.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah,
we're getting that rivalry.
Behind it. Mm-hmm.
And for Angel City, guys, we do have to touch on them because this is now four losses in a row for the LA team. And there was a point in this season, they had a 3-0 start. They were at the top of the table. It was like, we are unstoppable. We've picked up these players in the offseason. And now they've hit a bit of a slump. Is it a slump? Is there a lot to change? Or is it the competition that they're going against that this was just bound to happen for Angel City? And how do they turn it around right now?
I think, honestly, Lisa, I'm going to lean more towards that last part that you said, because I think there's a bit of that coming into play. There's always this very unique opportunity at the start of the season where everyone has that clean slate. And there's even that layer of every team is kind of maybe figuring it out a little bit. Even those who were those top tier teams in the year before. I mean, we look at the start that Kansas City had this year versus where they are now and the things they're doing now. And for Angel City, that was a little bit of my concern as well that I expressed on our preview show. I was just, is this going to be the same team when the schedule sort of catches up to them a bit? And I mean that in a way where everyone else is going to find themselves figuring it out too. So I'm not saying that somewhere down the line, they might not find themselves putting up a ton of goals against a Chicago team. Maybe they will, but that might not happen against teams that they're meeting even in this rivalry game, like a San Diego Wave, a team that you have familiarity with. So I think those question marks and that urgency maybe needs to kick in a little bit for games ahead of them as well. They're going to go up against Thorns, which whom they already have a loss against. So what are they going to do? What are those adjustments going to be? Who is going to step up and be that person to kind of grab the game by the scruff of the neck?
In terms of scheduling for Angel City, they are one of the few teams that have not had a midweek game. And I know we talk about schedule congestion a lot, but there's a point at this point in the season, if you're playing more games, that's more reps, that's more chances, that's more opportunities to get your game plan together. And for Angel City not to have that and now go on a 4-game losing streak, I'm concerned. I'm a little bit concerned about this team and if they can turn it around, because it is Portland, Kansas City that they go back to back playing up against this next week.
It's tough. My panic meter is also like getting a little up there for Angel City, because I talk, yes, San Diego stacked, Angel City is as well.
Yeah.
But the emotion after the game, how upset everybody was, I was a little surprised by. I think that there's much more pressure than maybe we're realizing, even though, you know, we're still early in the season. There's still a lot to make up. We're still seeing teams try to transform and figure out who they are and what it means and how they're going to break other teams down without sacrificing their own identity. Angel City knows who they are. They know how to score goals. It's just adding a different dimension to it so that it's not so predictable when teams know how to shut down a Jonsdottir and a Giselle Thompson. Now what?
They have to find a different way to go except route one direct and
yes. Speed.
Is it going to be?
I was shocked by the emotion after the game.
It's almost sort of like what are you, it's like, what are you carrying a little bit? It's still early. Like try not to get too low. Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious. It's like who's it going to be? I do wonder maybe if there are players working their way back, returning these sort of players that can maybe spark something else. We're not seeing that sort of attacking and that scoring and that finishing that we saw from this team in those first 3 weeks of the season. It looks much different. It looks frustrated. They seem frustrated. I don't want to say that like they're snake bit, but you know,
it's almost as if, Sandra, they've been found out in the way to score a little bit. I think they'll get through it though. I'm not too worried about Angel City, but maybe they were so, you know, emotional after that game because of the rivalry, because of everything that happened. So we go from one game that San Diego Angel City felt like a rivalry match to Gotham Boston. That is a new rivalry, we're going to call it, in the NWSL. But it ends 1-1 between the reigning champs and new expansion side, Boston Legacy. Boston guys, 3 unbeaten in a row and their first road point. What's going on at Boston?
Lisa, how was the energy on the sidelines? Because you were there, and there was a lot of crunchy, physical tackles that you could see Gotham getting pissed off.
This
and Boston, it just like it added fuel.
Oh, they loved it.
Fuel to the legacy.
They loved it. The energy in the stadium at Sports Illustrated for this game was electric, exactly how you would expect it to be for a rivalry game for two teams that don't have a history. They've played each other once, but it was so physical. You're exactly right, Darian. Crunchy tackles on the pitch that the entire Gotham bench was very vocal about, very vocal against Jordan Dudley and the tackles that she was getting against her. And you're exactly right. Every time that there would be a hard tackle and no call, the entire Gotham bench would be standing up and standing at the field, screaming, talking to the fourth official, talking to the refs, and the Gotham bench or the Boston bench would just be like, keep going, team, like so chill. They were like, this is our game plan. We're going to keep going. And it worked because all those tackles and those fouls disrupt the play that Gotham is trying to do. And at halftime, the Gotham coaching staff told me, we can't find a rhythm. We can't connect passes. We can't possess because we're just getting tackled so much. We have to find a way out and around of this. They didn't do that in the second half. And it ended up being a 1-1 draw and a huge, huge road point for Boston, but still not good enough. Filippo Patau after the game was like, Lisa, we want to win. We don't want to draw. We want to pick up 3 points and we want to win and we want to be better. It was a crazy game though. Like at the end, Ann Katzenberger was like piping up the crowd, getting everyone loud and yelling. It was fun. It was fun to be there.
I think this is an exciting introduction to what we're all hopeful will be another one of these special rivalries. It's very new to NWSL. It has not really existed for a while. There once upon a time was a Boston franchise in the league, but now there's a new one. But conceptually, spiritually, there's typically Boston and New York area rivalries in a lot of across a lot of pro sports leagues. That opening match between the two of them compared to this last game, a little bit of a different vibe. So I love how quickly it's sort of growing a little bit between them. And good on Boston, you know, that draw that they had against North Carolina Courage, not the type that you want to be maybe so proud of, because they were in control for much of that game until they weren't. But showing that they're kind of, like I say, turning a page at a very certain point in the season, I think is important for an expansion franchise that is like still trying to not only maybe show themselves, but show the rest of the league what they intend to be about moving forward. I can only imagine how frustrating it could be sometimes when you find yourself maybe generating, creating, or finding those silver linings and not, you know, walking away with anything. We're talking about body language. I'm thinking about that loss that they had against Chicago not too long ago, where they were just like absolutely dejected. I think they had like 24 something shots, and like not only walking away with nothing, but a flat out loss, no goals. So that's incredibly frustrating, I'm sure. But we're seeing it little by little, step by step. I think eventually they're going to hit a point where they want to see actual wins on a more consistent basis. But you got to take it for now what you can get.
Yo, but this is one of those games for Boston you're going to look back at, and that is going to give you so much fuel for the rest of the season. I love that someone shouted out Karabali, the goal line,
last ditch save
she had, not once, twice, late in the match. She came on as a sub and did that. And everybody, you saw everyone's reactions. Casey Murphy's reacting, who is usually like very, very even kill.
Yes.
This is one of those games that it felt like a rivalry. I'm still like, this is a baby. I don't know if we can call that. They played twice and there's a win and a draw. Like, I don't know. There needs to be a little bit more behind it, but I love the chippiness of it. It was a fun game. Yes, a draw, but it felt like a win for Boston. And I think.
And it felt like a loss for Gotham.
Yeah. And we're seeing the identity come together for Boston. I said on the broadcast that I think Gotham plays in a way that Boston aspires to, but Boston have the bite, the hunger that they're trying to prove it. And I think that's what got the better of Gotham. And you're right. It felt like a loss for the baddies.
Well, yes, Boston has Bianca St. George, so they'll always have that bite. My girl is always feisty out there. That was a fun one, Boston-Gotham. There was a lot of other action that happened around the grounds this weekend, including Temwa Shewinga. She scored her first goal of the year, and then she scored her second goal of the year, and then she scored her third goal of the year. And it was Temwa Shewinga's first hat trick. Insane to think about that in NWSL, but Shewinga helping KC to another dub in electric fashion.
Did you all not get the memo? It's Temwa time, baby. I love it. I feel like this is what's been missing a little bit. We've been spoiled, quite frankly. We've had two consecutive seasons of Shewinga dominance, an MVP, a Golden Boot winner. And she's one of these players that has had to find herself working her way back from injury. And it's eventually going to get to that point in the season when you are looking at the opposition in front of you and wondering where those opportunities are going to come from. And it was definitely today for Kansas City against Chicago. I'll be frank. I'm a little disappointed there weren't more goals. And I think I'm going to like hold Kansas City's feet to the fire a little bit still on that. If you don't go out and beat that Chicago team, that was very poor form from Chicago today. Not great. They're going to need to lock that up some kind of way. But if that is what you are being met with on the pitch, you have to be eating up, licking your chops. I was very surprised that it actually ended 3-0. I thought there were going to be, post shots from Cooper, you know, but absolutely the type of game where you want to get both, you know, your look back and make sure that you spin it forward and that you build on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this from Temwa because, sure, I haven't scored in the first quarter of the season. I'm still building my time back. Let me just rock in three in a few minutes and then come off. I'll be back next week. Like, God, she's such a baller. And maybe not the, like, sexiest goal she's scoring, but, you guys, it's right place, right time. She anticipates everything. She has the finish. Like, this is a player that's building confidence, and she just scored a hat trick.
Yeah. That third goal, too, was so good. Her, like, taking it off the half volley and then just lacing it through the back of the net. Okay, Sandra, so you wanted more goals in this 3-0 win for KC over Chicago. Well, you know where we got five goals? Denver taking on Houston, 4-1 for the Summit, the expansion side. A huge road win for this team. Denver, Darian, they've come and they're proving that they want to compete every single time that they step on the field.
Yeah, this team we're seeing has that dog in them. Yes, they're waiting Lindsay Heaps to come this summer after Champions League, but they are so strong. And I think we're seeing, you know, talking about Boston building an identity, I think Denver's come to that much quicker. And they have the veterans on the team. Yasmin Ryan is cooking now, serving up assists left and right. Janine Sonis is here, there, everywhere, bopping in goals. Like, this is a team that's just flowing really, really well. And they're not just relying on one player anymore to score their goals. And they're a joy to watch. Houston is struggling, man. That's another team that's similar to Chicago. Something's got to change. It feels like defeating almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watching, you can feel it from the players.
And this wasn't at all dubbed a rivalry game by any means, but there was, I feel like, a little bit of vengeance with Yasmin Ryan and Delaney Sheehan playing against their former team because Yas Ryan, she gets two assists. She was cooking in this game. And then Delaney Sheehan gets a goal too, which is like so electric. And to do it against your former team on the road, a lot of emotions in this one for Houston and Denver. But Denver, they pick up a really big road wing. Okay, so lots of different goal scorers for this Denver game, but in Orlando Pride, there was only one goal and only one goal that mattered as they took down North Carolina 1-0, and it came from Barbara Banda. This is five goals in the last three games for her. 8-8. She's 8-8, Sandra, this season. It is unstoppable, Barbara Banda.
Easily the MVP front runner right now. I don't know how... Well, it's scary to think how Orlando could look without her, number one. But this is a player who you look at week to week and you are constantly, if you're the other team, you're constantly trying to game plan for this player. That is how important she is to Orlando and for game planning across the league. She is that lethal. She's that dangerous. And just kind of showing that sometimes the road back isn't always what you think it's going to be. I don't think people anticipated that Banda's comeback would be this instant, but it is. And aren't we so lucky?
Yeah, it has been very fun to watch her. And Utah, we got to touch on them because they just came off their game this weekend. And they stay undefeated in their last seven, clean sheets in their last five, but their win streak stops at five. It was like the roller coaster up, 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 up. And then we plateaued a little bit. Utah has to be a little frustrated with some of their missed chances that they had today, Darian, in their draw.
Yeah, 100%. Because the midweek game that they had, they looked so good. I still think they could score more. Like, Utah's XG must be high, but it's just that final finish that they're missing. And this team could be even more up there than what we're talking about. I think that's their issue, is they allow teams to come back into the game and still have hope. And the next level for them is to eradicate that, shut that, lock the door, and continue to score some goals. And they have the team to do it. They have the chemistry to do it. They're having fun on the field. That's something we haven't said about Utah since they came back into the league. And they're finally there. So coming from their midweek game against Houston to this game, it was tough. You could feel the level drop off, but three-week games are tough.
So tough.
They are so tough to maintain energy all the way throughout and still be able to show your best. And a lot of players putting a lot of minutes on their legs. And I think in this match with Utah, you could really see it. And that's why they didn't have that X factor, at least in the attacking third.
I like how they made that adjustment, though. Like, there was, I just loved watching Mandy McGlynn at a certain point just being like, screw it. I'm just putting it up there. Someone's going to get on it.
Yeah.
You know, and we saw a couple players try to get behind that, but my goodness, I was in agony. They were shooting it right at Silkowitz. But those are the teams that stand out. Figuring out reading the game, what it's giving, figuring it out, making that adjustment, and just trying some stuff. So I appreciate it.
I was really impressed with Utah's like high press and their ability to not get broken down so easily and then be able to regroup and restructure. It's been pretty fun to watch to watch Utah this year. So they still remain undefeated, but they do drop points in this draw with Bay FC. All right, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Stick with us. Oh, Phil's not here. I was thinking he might still pop back in. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way on a drive CarMax. It is everyone's favorite time of the show. We get to do our A3 team of the week. We are bringing you our best 11. Sandra, kick us off with our front line.
Oh, I just want to thank the scoring soccer gods for making my job so easy this week. To an extent. And we'll get into that when Darren gets to her midfielders. But there's no way Temwa Chiwenga is going to go out there, get a hat trick, and not end up on this team of the week for me. Why? Because it's Temwa time, baby. I love it. I'm here for it. You make it look so easy. Chiwenga back in action. I don't know if she's getting a hat trick every single game from here on out, but it's nice to see that she is more than capable of still putting up those kinds of numbers for Kansas City after coming back from a tough injury. Immediate lock on my team of the week for the forwards. I, of course, have Barbara Banda on here as well. Game winner, tough night, hot, humid conditions, a real kind of like torture match for both teams in this one. This poor player was like cramping at times on the pitch, hopping back up, getting back in there, and still found that extra bit of energy in the tank to go ahead and get that game winner. And probably my most exciting player to put on this front line was Dudinja for San Diego Wave. This player has been putting together such extraordinary performances, even during the low slumps of the losses for San Diego Wave, that you just knew this type of performance was coming. And here it is. It came during a big rivalry game against Angel City. Loved, love, love how this player creates week to week, and did the same this week. So scoring goals, creating for her teammates, another lock for my forward line as well. I think I did all right.
No complaints. You got the smooth one this week. Every single one of those players was inevitable in their matches. So I don't have any complaints, Lisa. Do you?
Nope. Absolutely not, Sandra. You crushed it. All right. Midfield, D?
Midfield. I was tasked with midfield this week. Okay. I am counting Utah's midweek game as the game I can count in here. And of course, I'm going to throw Tanaka. I think she has elevated this team. She brings up the standards. She puts assists on a platter for players. She had two on Wednesday, so she is in my team of the week. Katie O'Kane, come on, Louisville. Come on. Not only does she get her first goal, she scores a brace. Talk about a new set piece taker. She looked electric. Shout out to Louisville getting a dominating win over Portland. That was huge. And then last but not least, I'm modifying things a little bit. Yasmin Ryan's coming to the midfield. I'm plucking her from the forward. She's coming in the midfield because she's one of those players that has the freedom to kind of operate where she wants because she is so good on the ball. Two assists, dominating win for Denver. So that's my midfield. I know there's some honorable mentions out there. I thought Kenza Dali she could be on my team of the week every single week if I had midfield. But I wanted to give these three players the shout this week.
Really good shouts. Even for Utah, their game today, Tanaka had some like insane blocks and defensive efforts. She played so well. I'm all in on these three.
I like it. I think if you had to make a like honorable mentions for people, I think maybe I give a shout out to Alba Caño. This is a player that showed a lot during that rivalry game against Gotham. And for Boston, that's I look at that player and that performance as kind of someone that you want to continue, you know, staying in the mix and kind of keeping that energy going. So I would give a special shout out to that, but you cannot deny what Yasmin Rayan did on the pitch for Denver. I love how you kind of drifted her in there. Great stuff.
Plucked from up top.
Yep.
Okay.
We really cool stuff, guys. We have a listener in as a goalkeeper and a forward last year. We can do what we want.
Whatever we want. All right, guys, let me take you through my defense. I'm going to start in the back. I'm going to go Casey Murphy for Boston because she had so much energy in this game. She made 6 saves. They helped pick up their first road point of the season. Like, really big game for Casey Murphy and for Boston. I'm also going to go Mimi Van Zanten from San Diego because she scored her first goal, and it is so fun to see that. Hafaeli for Orlando. I thought she had a great game in that center back role. I am going to go Janine Sonis for Racing Louisville. I think she had a really good game. And then I also was going to do Erin Wright for Racing Louisville, and it's kind of a lot of Racing Louisville players. What are we thinking?
I think Kate Delfava deserves a spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to add some more in there for you.
Thank you. This was a hard weekend for
defense. It was.
I feel like everyone had really good games.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was tough.
Does Kate Delfava get any extra love from you, Lisa, for like having the heavy match load this week?
Yes, absolutely. No, let's throw Kate Delfava in there. I like that one a lot. So Janine Sonis, Kate Delfava, Hafaeli, and Mimi Van Zanten, and then Casey Murphy as my goalie.
I like it.
Thoughts? Okay, cool. I like that back line. Good stuff, guys. Team effort. Thank you for that one. Now we have our coach of the week. This one was tricky for me. I want to nominate Bev Yanez out there for the huge win for Racing Louisville. Also Mother's Day playing out there. But any other nominees you want to throw out there, guys?
Give it to Bev.
Yeah. And Bev, we trust. I loved that game this weekend. I think maybe against a different team, we see a different identity. We maybe see a little bit of fold or a little bit of conceding. More a little bit slower methodical build to even things out a little bit. Not this Racing team, not led by Bev Yanez. So I like this shot.
Huge for Bev and Racing Louisville. All right, our captains of the week. Nominee for a captain, Sandra or Darian?
I don't know. There's a lot of moms in the
league. There's so many moms. And good. Alex Morgan just announced that they're having another. Talk about someone that's helped with maternal care in this league.
Maybe
we could do all the moms.
We really could do all the moms. But you know what? We did get to see Claire MZ kind of like tap back in. Like definitely had her like, huge. I've arrived kind of moment.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like Claire Emsley for our honorary captain of the week, or captain of the week, really. It was a good one. Good to see her back on the pitch, and we just interviewed her this week on Attacking Third. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go listen to it and watch that interview on YouTube because it was a very good one with Claire Emsley. All right, that's our team of the week, guys. Done and dusted.
We watched
it. I know.
I hope we hear from all the moms about our team of the week this week. This is our gift to them.
That's amazing. All the moms, let us know what you think about this one. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on A3. We will be right back after this. Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. We have to talk about our last game of the weekend that wrapped up Seattle Reign against Washington Spirit. It ends with 1 goal to Washington Spirit. So Washington are on a 5-game win streak right now. It took until the very end of this game, though, Darian, and we got to see two teams in Seattle and Washington battle. I'm going to say a little bit of a slow battle, a light battle throughout this Sunday night matchup. What'd you make of it?
It felt like a late night Sunday match. It was slow. And I think both teams were testing, prodding, but it wasn't fully coming together in the final third for either of them. And then you look at the substitutions that Washington Spirit made, and it gave them such an extra oomph. We have Andy Sullivan coming back. We have Claudia Martinez getting another one. And this young player is so fun to watch. And you watch her last couple of games. Every time she comes on, we talked about our team of the week, those forwards feeling inevitable. She's putting herself up there as feeling inevitable that she's going to score. So great win for Spirit. Not the sexiest game we've seen them have, but talk about a team with some depth.
I think this is a team that is so stacked. They're so talented. I think they've earned this type of performance. They're not all going to be full of razzle or the dazzle. They might not always look pretty or wild and you know, footloose and fancy free. But this is a team that is showing that depth across the roster. And these are sort of those games that lead to those bigger prizes down the stretch of a season, whether you're looking at Shields or whether you're looking at playoff appearances or titles. Great stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff ultimately to get the job done, right? Even when it is not the prettiest game, I'm going to say, and you don't have the most chances. I'm like so disappointed in Seattle Reign, guys. I want so much more for them. And even towards the end of this game when they're losing, they're not like throwing the ball forward. They're not pushing to get a goal, to get an equalizer. It just feels so lackluster at times from what they're trying to do when they have really talented players and they have players that understand what it takes. But some like silly mistakes, like at Phoebe McClernan playing the ball back to Claudia Dickey and going out for a corner twice, like little things like that. I'm like, okay, we need to fine tune these things and make sure that they're a little better. But ultimately it's Washington Spirit that gets the win. And so now we are very pleased to welcome in Washington Spirit midfielder and mom to be Andy Sullivan from Washington Spirit. Hey, Andy, welcome in.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Happy Mother's Day and congrats on the win.
Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about the win, because it was a bit of a long game. And ultimately at the end, it's Claudia Martinez who finds the back of the net. But how did you see the game?
Yeah, I don't think we're most excited about our entire performance. I think we knew we were like a little bit sloppy and a little bit not ourselves. But I think that's also credit to Seattle. Like, they came out a little bit differently than we expected and are really organized. So I think it took us a little bit to adjust. And then as the game wore on, we, you know, found a way. And I think that not every game is going to be, you're going to have to find ways to win when you're not having a good day and when another team is having a good day. And I think that we did that today. So I think we're a little bit lucky, but I also think that, shows that we're like a very good team that can grind things out.
Yeah. Sunny, I just mentioned, you know, maybe not the sexiest game. That's
definitely not. Not playing or watching. Sorry.
It's okay. It's one of those gritty wins. We're here for it. But I love seeing you on the pitch, and you just look so strong and smooth, and like you haven't missed a step. How is it coming back and playing with, you know, Hal? You have Rebecca Bernal. You have Lacey Santos in the middle of the pitch. Like, how seamless does that make that for you to come back in the middle?
Yeah, we have such an incredible midfield, and they like give me a lot of confidence and make it feel easy. Because, you know, when I was injured and pregnant, I was looking at that midfield and I'm like, oh, I don't know. And also we have like Deb Abiodun, who's out with injury right now, who's also incredible. So it's like, you know, can I come in and contribute? And I definitely like questioned that throughout my like pregnancy and injury and stuff like that. So just be able to come on and like find different ways to help has been awesome. And just, I think the way that we train, like we interchange a lot and we talk a lot and solve a lot of problems together. So it's just a really fun team to play on.
As you have worked your way back onto the pitch, are there any sort of different things that you have found yourself kind of utilizing to help in your process back to playing?
I think I've paid a lot more attention to like my routines, especially like pre-training, pre-game, and a lot more to like kind of like making sure my body isn't in sync. And that's like due to some like help I've gotten, through a mentor and through training. And so I just feel like I still like training hard and giving everything, but I also think that I am trying to like advance my game a little bit and focus on some foundations so that I can like move smoothly and easily.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. It is Mother's Day, Andy. So I have to ask you some questions about being Millie's mom.
Okay.
Congratulations. It is so adorable. Where does she watch the games? Like, is she taking them in? Is she wearing your jersey? Like, tell me all about this.
No jersey for her yet. She is typically with her dad. He is mostly traveling as the caretaker, which has been really special. Or sometimes like with my mom or my mother-in-law. She's usually up in the suite. And then get to see her after the games. And yeah, it's no jersey for her yet. She's growing too fast. So I don't know what size jersey I would get her. And yeah, I hope that, like, obviously I don't think she'll remember any of this right now, but I hope she'll have memories of it in the future.
Do you have a preference? Do you have a preference of kit, like for her? If once she fits into one, is there like, are you feeling like a Blossom kit? Are you feeling
like I think Cherry Blossom, but I think Cherry Blossom. It has to be
adorable.
We love the Cherry Blossom kit.
Yeah,
I want to ask, you know, with Millie, and we've talked to so many women in this league who have come back after having a kid, and they've all talked about, it feels like another superpower almost being a mom and being able to come back. Is that something you felt when you're now back on the pitch and playing, and you know, you have Millie on the side?
Yeah, I think that, I can't take anything seriously right now because Sam Pittman's standing here with Jose and I just like, he's like trying to make a smooth cameo and I just ruined it, but it's like really affecting my
health. Bring him in. That's the transition. That's the live TV transition.
Bring him in, Andy. Hey, Jose!
Sorry if I ruined any plans that you had, but no, I think that being a mom and being Millie's mom has taught me so much, and she just like looks at everything with wonder and like happiness, and that's such a good reminder. And then just like also realizing that like I don't know anything about anything has been really fun, and just being able to look at things and like laugh. And I feel like my patience level has gone up and my composure level has gone up. And I think that like, I'm kind of seeing that manifest while still like maintaining the passion and energy that I'm able to like keep this like steadiness. And that's how I felt in the past few games. And maybe that's also because that's what those games have like dictated for me as a game changer. But yeah, I just feel like the perspective that I have is different, and it's like, it's really helpful.
That is so cool to hear, Andy. Thank you. We got a cameo of Jose and our chat is going ballistic. Can we see Jose again? And what is Jose wearing? And how did Jose travel to Seattle? Was it first class? Like,
what does Jose mean to you?
What does Jose mean to you, Andy?
What is Jose wearing?
To me? I don't know. I think Rebbe dressed Jose.
Yes.
And the hat is impressive. It has like ear slots and everything. But and the badge is on it. I don't know if you can see on the back. But so he's great. I don't really know his travel situation. He just kind of shows up. I'm not gonna say that. We're not usually carrying him around through the airport. I feel like that would scare some people. But yeah, what does Jose mean to me? I think that like it's such a good example of like when you're in a team and you're in a professional environment, like things are just serious and they're intense. It's a long season, but like things that make it meaningful are like silly things like Jose, and just most of those usually stay in house, but and like are hard to remember, like hard to call to mind, you know, in retrospect. You just remember like how people made you feel and what the team was like. And I think like Jose is an embodiment of that, and like fans are seeing that and enjoying it. And yeah, so definitely will be more memorable than ones in the past, but yeah, he's great.
And the fit is fantastic for Jose.
Yes. Shout out to Jose, his mother.
Amazing. Andy, thank you so much. Congrats on the dub, and thanks for joining us tonight. This has been great.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Happy Mother's
Day. Have a great night. Bye, Jose. It was great to meet you. So fun. So awesome to chat with Andy. That does it, guys, for our Mother's Day Sunday A3 NWSL recap. Thank you so much for hanging with us. This was Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. We will be back on Thursday, 11 a.m., as we preview all the NWSL action to come in match week 8. Thanks so much for hanging with us. For Sandra and Darian, Phil and Audrey, I'm Lisa. This was Attacking Third. Podcasts.